Thank you for choosing Weekly Politics as your podcast today. There's been a lot that's happened in the United States specifically, and especially the world since the last time I posted. So I'm just going to go over some very basic things, and then I'll talk about the major problems that should be happening but aren't happening. And by problems, I mean things that we keep postponing, like let's say the debt that keeps coming up, the government spending that we are just overblowing way too much, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, all that basic things that we need to scale down, not spend as much on, otherwise we're gonna hit a catastrophe. But the only reason why we haven't hit that catastrophe yet is because we keep borrowing money, which is making another catastrophe. So but yeah, I'll get to those later. As a quick recap over what happened since the last time I posted, Ukraine still has a counteroffensive going on, so nothing's really new in Ukraine. They've moved a little bit towards their original borders, but like not much whatsoever. So there's that. The UN had a meeting with obviously all of their member states. They didn't specifically condemn the invasion in Ukraine, but they did condemn foreign invasions in general. So I mean, like, okay, whatever. I don't really care if they condemn it or not anyway. It's just words. What I do care is if they actually do something. But instead, the United Nations decided to pass resolutions and to talk about how how climate change is such a big problem these days. Because you know, the weather is getting warmer and warmer every single year, and there's gonna be a time where we might not even have a weather anymore. It's just gonna be desert everywhere. There will barely even be oceans. And by the way, you need to worry about rising tides because even though it's getting warmer and there aren't going to be oceans anymore, their tides are going to keep coming up and they're going to flood everything. If that made no sense to you, that's good because it's not supposed to make sense. But that's what they talk about at the UN. That's what they talk about every. So here's the thing about these world institutions. Like when I first heard people talk about how the world is trying to control itself, like the United Nations is trying to be a world government, I didn't believe them. I used to be a big fan of the United Nations, the World Trade Organization, the World Health Organization, all these world organizations. I used to be big fans of them because what they do is they allow things to be done on a mass scale. So, like the UN, you can pass treaty resolutions. They will help you pass those resolutions. If there's a foreign invasion that's happening that should not be happening, they will send peacekeepers and they will help you stop that invasion. The World Trade Organization, that's a whole bunch of countries that come together and they decide, hey, let's maybe lower our regulations so that we can freely trade with each other a little bit better, and that will help the economy of the entire world. Those were incredible ideas. World Health Organization, hey, there's this virus going on in South Africa. We need a vaccine to stop it so that it doesn't spread to other parts of the world. Or hey, we have this virus in South Africa that has already happened in America. We have the vaccine in America. We can now send it to you from America to South Africa to stop this virus. That would be an incredible thing. But instead, every single one of those organizations only talk about climate change. It's the only thing they care about these days. And it's really annoying because, okay, I'm a huge fan of strategy games, if you can't tell. I really like seeing the strategy of things. I like controlling the things. Basically, seeing what happens if I do this, what happens if I do that, what works, what doesn't work, how can I exploit what does work, how can I get the best situation out of every single thing that happens, how can I do this, how can I do that. That is my main. That's what I like to do. It's, if you can't tell based on my podcast, that's just what I enjoy doing in general. The thing about these World Health, okay, these world organizations, is they're spending an insane amount of money on YouTube, on Google, on everything. So if I'm watching a tutorial on how to play a new strategy game, for example, this is actually something that actually happened to me. Okay, there's this game, and in this game, in this video, this guy mentions the word climate change. The UN decides that what they need to do is they need to spend money and time finding every single YouTube video that even mentions the word climate change and then posts a, what do you want to call it? I don't know what you'd call it, like a banner underneath the video by the description that specifically mentions climate change. It's like, climate change is this human-caused thing that's basically makes the world warmer and warmer and warmer. And what it's going to do is, it's caused by fossil fuels and it's terrible. We need to stop it. That's basically what the banner said. On a YouTube video. For a video game. For crying out loud. If they have that amount of time to just sit there and find every single tiny little thing that even mentions the word climate change and tell a whole world what they actually, what the world should believe instead of, you know, I don't know, maybe letting people do their own research and finding out the actual truth about things, then how come they don't have enough time to stop a war in Ukraine? I don't know, just a thought. How come they let China, we kind of let China in the UN. Go figure. How come they let China bully Taiwan? How come there's a massacre of the Uyghur Muslim population in China going on right now? If the UN has that much time and money on their hands? That's my question. So if people... It's something that I don't understand people. I mean, they love power. And talking about climate change gives them a lot of power because it makes people scared. People are scared and they say, we need to give the government a whole bunch of more power so the government can unilaterally do all of this stuff. The thing is, when the government does all of this stuff that are supposed to end climate change, that puts us more under their control. If we are more under their control, they can better, well, obviously, they can better control what we want to do. So let's say we're now forced to buy electric cars. Okay. We're all buying electric cars. Electric cars are very integrated with the technological grid in the United States, which means I wouldn't be surprised in the future if they're interconnected. If a police car is chasing you and you're speeding, I wouldn't be surprised if they can just simply push a button and your car turns off. Would that be excellent for enforcing the law? Yes. Would I support that? No. That seems a little bit too far. I mean, you shouldn't be running from the cops in general. If you are, you're probably guilty of the crime they're accusing you of. But it's... No one should have the right to just shut down someone else's car. I mean, they committed a crime, but they haven't been convicted of the crime. They get convicted of the crime, that's a whole different story. But technically, they weren't convicted by court or by jury or whatever they're supposed to be convicted by, depending on the crime. Yeah. Innocent until proven guilty. You can stop them, you can arrest them, you can throw them in jail. They can pay bail, they can get out of jail. Depending on the bail, or if they have bail. I mean, sometimes that doesn't work as much, but yeah. Okay, so let's talk about some future problems, because right now there's a major thing that's looming, and that is the government going to shut down? So, there's a couple factions. I split the Republican Party into three different factions. The most left-leaning Republicans, I call rhinos, Republican in name only, rhino, yeah, call me old-fashioned, they're rhinos. So a rhino would be like, what's his name, guy who ran against Obama 2012, Mitt Romney, he's a rhino. And then in the center, there's moderate Republicans, who, by the way, moderate Republicans are often called terrorists by Democrats. For some reason, Joe Biden thinks that every single Republican who isn't a rhino is a terrorist, an extreme MAGA, extremist, racist, something, whatever. But we're not. So a moderate would be someone like Kevin McCarthy. He's fairly moderate in his conservative views. Trump people call him rhinos all the time. He's not a rhino. He's a moderate. And then the furthest right, you have the Freedom Caucus. And the Freedom Caucus are people like DeSantis. So they're very outspoken about their views and they're less willing to compromise than moderates are. That is the Freedom Caucus. And their unwillingness to compromise, I love their unwillingness to compromise, but I also hate their unwillingness to compromise at the same time. So it's like, personally, I don't like compromising either. I hate compromising on my values. I'm never going to compromise on my values, but I hate compromising on details even. It's just annoying. It's like giving something up. I don't like it. And that's the same with the Freedom Caucus. The problem is it causes issues. So when the Freedom Caucus wants, let's say they don't want Kevin McCarthy to be Speaker of the House. They want Jim Jordan to be Speaker of the House. They're never Well, they will give up, but it will take them forever to give up that view, which is why it took 15 rounds of voting for Kevin McCarthy to finally become Speaker of the House. Freedom Caucus for you. Another example that is actually happening as we speak right now. We have to pass a 30-day resolution to fund the government. The Freedom Caucus wants massive, massive government spending cuts across the board except for the military. The moderates, which are the ones running the House technically right now, because Kevin McCarthy's a moderate and he's the speaker, he says, no, look, this has to pass the Senate, and we're not going to get this past the Senate if we pass this resolution that cuts spending by 40% across the board, or whatever it is that they want to pass. But what we can do is cut it by 8% across the board, except for military spending. Military, we will instead cut off the woke programs, the DEI programs, all of that stuff from the military, because it's useless. We don't need it. It doesn't happen with anything. It doesn't work, or it doesn't help anything within the military. So it's not worth having it. That was McCarthy's idea, and that will likely pass the Senate because the Senate doesn't really have a choice. If they have a decent looking resolution on their desk and they refuse to pass it because they're Democrats, what's going to happen is the voters in 2024 are going to look at that and be like, hey, the Republicans did something and the Democrats refused to pass it, and that caused a government shutdown. Democrats are bad. Because it just so happens that whoever is the reason why the government shutdown happened, whoever the reason. Yeah, whoever caused it, the voters hate them. So the last time this happened wasn't that long ago. I think it was last year. Republicans passed, it wasn't even last year, it was like a 2 or 3 months ago. Republicans passed a resolution in the House to fund the government for a while. Joe Biden said he wasn't going to negotiate with Kevin McCarthy. So Kevin McCarthy, well, we passed a resolution, we should negotiate with us. Voters started to hate Joe Biden. Why? Because he would have been the reason why the government shut down if it did shut down. But because Joe Biden changed his mind and decided to finally negotiate at the end, and the government didn't shut down, that is considered a victory for Republicans. Although that was a major compromise, and I think we could have done better, but we also could have done worse. It was an okay bill. It was okay. Yeah, it's the probably one of the best ones we could get in the circumstance we were in. But yeah. We'll see. For this one, it's really interesting just because the Freedom Caucus is refusing to vote for anything the moderate Republicans like McCarthy come up with. We've already tried passing a resolution multiple times. Not multiple times, sorry, once at the very least. And it didn't work because the Freedom Caucus decided not to vote for it. So, yeah, we have to do something. And by the way, all spending bills have to start in the House. It's in the Constitution. It's the rule. It just has to be that way. And then it goes on to the Senate, and then it goes on to the president to sign, which he will sign, because if he vetoed a spending bill, he would lose the election by leaps and bounds. So let's talk about some of the things that these Freedom Caucus Republicans want. So before I go into this, I just want to make this very clear. I personally am in between a moderate and a Freedom Caucus person. Moderate because I see things as they are. How do I put this? If I can't get what I really, really want to get done in this current circumstances, I understand that. And I, instead of trying to force it down people's throats, I try to compromise it, but in a way so that I can later on change it back more towards how I want to have it. So this 30-day spending bill, for example, it's only 30 days. As time goes on, we can make it more and more conservative, drop more and more funds from the government, stop funding more and more things as time goes on. That sounds like a good idea, because I mean, if you immediately cut funding from every single program in the government by like 40%, yeah, sure, we'll no longer be spending more than we make, but it's going to be a very big impact, and it's not a great idea to do that. So I wouldn't suggest it. I would do it over a period of time. The other thing, so that's one of the things that Freedom Caucus people want. They want to cut spending enormously, but they want to do it quickly and immediately. And that's where I want to cut spending enormously too, but do it over a period of time. It's better. It's, yeah. We don't need a massive, what do you want to call it? Recoil. We don't need recoil. The second thing the Freedom Caucus wants is instead of passing one massive bill that says this is how the government's going to be funded, and it just funds the whole government within that one bill, they want multiple bills. So one bill to fund the military, one bill to fund, I don't know, the, what's it called? Oh dear. Entitlement programs. One bill to fund prisons. I don't know. You get what I'm saying, though? One bill to fund each subject of things. And that's an excellent idea, because then you're not pressured to fund the entire government by this one bill. So it's excellent because this, when Democrats ran the House and they'd pass, or they'd try to pass, they succeeded in passing a massive spending bill, and Republicans didn't vote for it, they would say, oh no, Republicans are not for funding old people in nursing homes or something like that. And they make it sound like a terrible thing. And it's like, no, we're not for funding this one weird name change for a park in the middle of nowhere to be named after Michelle Obama, because it's just dumb. It doesn't need to be in there. It's just like, why? Get what I'm saying? There'll be like one tiny little stupid thing inside the spending bill, and Republicans will be like, no. And then Democrats will say, oh, they hated the entire thing. It's like, no, we just hated that one thing, but it's the entire bill. You put everything into one bill. So it makes it super politicized and polarized. But if you split it all up and Democrats vote against, say, the defensive bill, we can say, truthfully, Democrats are not for this defense spending bill. We can truthfully say that without lying. And that's a good thing. I hate lying. Lying is not good. We should never lie. But that's amazing, because now we can focus things. We can say, okay, you're for this, we're for this. And we can better focus, and we can better realize that, better understand what we actually want, and thus come up with a better compromise in certain situations when we need it. Instead of having this massive bill that's $4 trillion for half a year. Something I find hilarious right now is Democrats are talking about how Trump was terrible with the economy. He grew the national debt by $8 trillion over the 4 years he was in office. It's like, yeah, that's a lot of money, and he should not have done that. I agree. I'm not for spending more than we make whatsoever, especially because we're not even at war. But Joe Biden has spent more than $8 trillion more. So he's grown the debt by more than $8 trillion since he took office. And he hasn't even been in office for 4 years. So yeah, you have a fair criticism of Trump, but your president is doing even worse. Just pointing that out real quick. It's So, it's just life, apparently, you know. You just gotta get used to it. It's a new world, you know? In this new world, you can say whatever you want. It's freedom of speech, and unless you say something that someone doesn't like. If you say something that someone doesn't like, that's hate speech. And hate speech is, for everyone listening to this episode who's a fan of hate crime laws, I'm not against hate crime laws, but I don't think hate speech should be a crime. I'm just pointing that out. And if you want to say, well, what about, say, someone who hates this black person, so they threaten them with something. Okay, that's a threat. That's a crime within itself. It should be punished by the full extent of the law. So hate speech is, it's dumb. Because nowadays, what governments are doing, especially in the United Kingdom, what they're doing right now, is they passed a bill that basically says, if you bully online, you did something illegal. And that sounds amazing. Bullying is never good, although I do have to point this out. In the United States, we have freedom of speech. You have the right to be a bully with your words. Being a bully online is being a bully with your words. Freedom of speech, freedom of press. And you cannot make that illegal within the United States. This is the United Kingdom. They don't have a constitution. They don't have those same protections that we have. So it is legal for them to pass this law, and they did pass it. The thing about this is, if I am online and I'm saying that men are men and women are women, men cannot become women and women cannot become men, are they going to say that's bullying? Just look at the world today. I can hardly even say that whatsoever on different public spaces. I can say that within private circles on Facebook, maybe. I can say it on Twitter because Twitter's amazing now. I can say it in private and on Twitter. But anywhere else, people come after you. And they come after you hard. So what's stopping a judge from calling that bullying? What's stopping a judge from fining you tons and tons of money for saying that? Then what you made illegal then is not bullying. It's opinions, beliefs, the way people think. You just made thinking a certain way illegal. And that's not okay. So while it sounds amazing, it's actually terrible and terrifying. And same goes with me too. So like, let's say someone's bullying me. I mean, okay, sure, that's mean, whatever, but they have the right to do it. I don't want people to be punished by law because of something mean they did, whether I like what they did or not. It's one of the compromises of America. You have these freedoms, which means you can do really mean things that aren't illegal. And the reason why they're not illegal is because if you did make them illegal, you'd also make really excellent things illegal. So it's a compromise, but it's what we have. And it's the best working system in the world. That's why I like the Constitution. That's the state of the world for you today. State of the world. It's burning, climate change. We've got a war in Ukraine that the UN refuses to stop. I think we should pull out of the United Nations, by the way. It's really dumb. You know who wasn't in the United Nations for the longest time ever? Switzerland. Yeah. You know who still isn't in the United Nations, yet has an incredible economy, and is just naturally an incredible nation, even though it has no natural resources? Taiwan. Just a heads up. Just pointing this out, you know. We don't need to be in the United Nations. World Trade Organization? Dumb. If all these world organizations are only going to talk about climate change and they're not even going to fulfill their original purpose, then what's the point of being part of them anymore? They're not doing what they're supposed to do. They're spending money and wasting it. Why would I give them money just to waste more of it? It's dumb. Instead, we can make our own trade organizations. For example, we hate China. We're okay with Mexico. So how about we start funding, building ports and airports and highways in Mexico, so that you can trade with the United States easier. Massive ports on the eastern and western coasts of Mexico. You can trade with California and Louisiana like it's nothing. Airports with direct flights to the United States 24/7. Highways with multiple lanes, like four lanes per side, going into the United States, all over the border between Mexico and the US. That would be cool. Yes, obviously, have the border security, okay? I am for securing the border. So I'm not gonna build, I wouldn't be for building any of those if there wasn't a way to secure it at the same time, which I do believe there is, especially because they're roads and you could just build them as a bridge. Because what are you gonna do? Jump off the bridge? No. You're gonna have to stay on the road, then you have to get checked and all this whatnot. But you get the point. Trade between the US and Mexico could be amazing. And the problem is Mexico doesn't have that infrastructure, but we can build it for them. Right now they're leaning more towards China because what China does, instead of giving countries money, they build things for that country to make money on their own. And countries actually like that more than just receiving plain money. So instead of giving Mexico money, help them build this stuff. Make trade agreements with them. With one exception, we get to move in and kick out the cartels. That's the only exception. That would be incredible, though. I also think we should end all ties with Canada because Canada is literally communist and they're claiming they're the most progressive nation in the world. As you literally have no free speech there, no freedom of press there. If you say something naughty or you drive a truck on the freeway and say that Trudeau is a terrible person, then you'll lose $2,500 from your PayPal account. But it's a free country in Canada, I promise. It's a free country. It's so progressive there, it's amazing. Just how progressive it is. It's so progressive that the Canadian Liberal government is losing by 10 points to the Conservative government, which means the Conservatives are probably going to take over in a couple years. Which is good. Yes, the Conservatives are way more liberal than American Conservatives, but they're better than the Liberals in Canada. So, yeah. It's kind of like a death trap. It's like, pick your poison, huh? You get the conservatives or the liberals, huh? It's amazing, huh? What is a prime? Does anyone know what a prime minister's job in the United Kingdom is? Because I honestly don't know. He was supposed to be conservative, but now he's passing this bill that I just talked about where you can't bully online. It's made illegal now. And I thought he was a conservative, but the United Kingdom's weird. There's a reason why I'm American and I don't ever claim to be British because British people are strange. But you know, it's perfect. Okay, so I want to talk about something really interesting. Because I'm a tech guy, I love technology. It's amazing. Technology is the best. Just because you can just. The ability and the feeling that you have when you build something out of tech and it does what you want it to do after five tries of it failing, and then finally it works and it's amazing. And then progressively over 4 or 5 months, you just make it better and better and better. And it's just incredible. That feeling you have is amazing. It's the best. Like building a desktop like I did. Oh man. Best thing I've ever done. It's the best. I love my computer. It's amazing. I'm sure most of you guys are Apple fans, and if you are an Apple fan, I don't know if you knew this, but the Apple 15, iPhone 15s just came out. And what's really interesting is how they charge. So, normally, you take your Apple charger and you plug it in. Well, not anymore. I mean, you still take a charger and you plug it in, but it's not the same charger. The charger that you used to have is called a Lightning port. And it's called that because only Apple uses it. So they can call it whatever they want. That's what they wanted to call it. So that's what it's called. But now they use something different. They use a completely different kind of charger called USB-C. The same charger that Samsung and basically virtually every other Android phone in the world uses. USB-C charging. So when you buy the iPhone 15, you're going to need that new cord it comes with in the box. Just letting you know. You don't need a new charging port. But the reason why they did this is because the European Union passed a law, a resolution, not a law. I'm sorry, it can't be called a law, it's a resolution. It's basically a law, because that's how it acts, that says all new phones made in 2024 and beyond have to have a USB-C charging port. And yes, Europe is not Apple's biggest market. Apple's biggest market is technically the United States, but Europe is still a ginormous market for Apple. So when Europe makes that law, Apple can't just be like, okay, well, we'll make a special version specifically for Europe, because that's really expensive. They can't just do that. So instead, what they're doing is they were essentially forced to make that law, that, oh, what do you want to call it? They're forced to comply with that law, not just in Europe, but within the entire world, because of how expensive it would be to only comply with it in Europe. Also, really interesting thing, China is greatly limiting Apple in their home country. And the reason why they're doing it is answering American sanctions. So what they're basically doing is they're on the way to making Apple completely illegal within China. And when this happens, I mean, it's already basically happened. It's not illegal, but the people in China are no longer buying iPhones simply because the Chinese government told them not to, even though it's not really a law yet. They just, yeah, that's just the way China works. So what they're buying instead are Huawei phones. And what's really interesting is Huawei was essentially a dead company. It was one of the biggest phone companies in the world, most technologically advanced companies in the world, because of American technology, even though it's a Chinese company. And then America caught it spying on its people, and we, as an America, banned it from using American tech. And now it basically became a dead company. And so it had to restart everything. Every single bit of American tech, it had to develop on its own now, Chinese tech instead, which is way worse than American tech. But now it's becoming alive again because Apple was essentially made illegal and Huawei is the Apple of China. So there's that. Really interesting, and I find these economics of technology incredibly interesting. Especially with electric cars. I'm not a fan of electric cars, but I love Tesla. It's the weirdest thing ever. I hate electric cars, okay? I really do. It's like, let's go to the gas station and fill up with gas in 2. Oh, wait, we have an electric car. Let's go to the mall and plug it in for 2 hours to charge up to 50%. And then drive 50 miles home and almost be out of an battery again. So when we're home, we're going to have to charge it the entire time. Electric cars, I don't like at all. If you live in a really big city, and you own a home in that city, and you have a charger, you have the ability to put a Tesla supercharger inside of your garage, which not too many people have that ability, but if you do, that's great. Then electric cars, sure, go ahead, pull it up. It's actually, I don't care. It'd be great for that. But electric cars, I don't see them worth it. The reason why I like Tesla, though, is because I love their economics, the way they do things. So like, hey, electric cars are really expensive to build, unless we build millions and millions and millions of them at the same time. So that's exactly what they did. And yes, their cars are still obviously really expensive, but they're a whole lot cheaper than what they would have been. So that's interesting. The second reason I like it is because I like Elon Musk. Elon Musk is hilarious. He's just like, I mean, one time he's in Los Angeles, stuck in traffic, and he literally comes up with the idea, I'm sick of being stuck in traffic. I'm going to make a company called Boring, and we're going to bore holes into the ground and make highways underground, specifically for my cars. Who does that? Yes, Boring is a real company. Yes, they have real tunnels now. It's hilarious. Who else also comes up with the idea, we're going to go to the Mars? And people are like, no, you can't do that. It's impossible right now. And he's like, so? We're going to do it. Who does that? The Falcon rockets? Those things have been reused time after time again. It's amazing. The economics that he does. He's also for a lot less government regulation, which, thank you. We need more. We need a lot less. Yeah, I agree with him. Absolutely. He also builds a lot of his stuff in America and Mexico, which, thank you. Yes, build it in America, build it in Mexico. Also, none of his Tesla factories are unionized. Thank you. I hate unions. Hate them. They're useless. I'm sorry. If you're someone who loves unions, I just made you really mad. I hate unions. When they were first started and people were like, okay, we need unions so that we can actually get paid money or so that we don't have child labor. First of all, child labor laws, they already make sure you don't have child labor anymore. It didn't used to be that way, but it is now. And after unions were made, around the 1940s, I think it was, the minimum wage was made. So you already get paid money. You already don't have children working. So what's the point of a union? To make sure you get paid a fair wage? The free market does that for you. If a company isn't paying you well enough, you can quit and go to another company that will pay you more. It's competition. The unions are just dumb. Especially, okay, I am running very low on time, so I'm gonna make this example really quick. So the union strike in Michigan, the three companies, Stellantis, GM, and Ford. By the way, Stellantis is basically Chrysler, I think, right? I think it's Chrysler. It's they were bought out by a European company called Stellantis, so they're, yeah, okay, it's Chrysler. Their factory workers are striking because these are literally the demands they're making. So right now they're getting paid $72,000 a year, and you might look at that and be like, dang, that's kind of good for a factory worker. Yeah, it's amazing for a factory worker. Here's the thing, They're asking for an enormous pay raise within the next 8 years. I think it was like 32, 36% in the next 8 years. Or is it next 4 years? It's a lot within the next few years. Which, I think it's 8% per year, which is above the rate of inflation by a lot. So you look at that and you're like, so you want to get paid 100 grand by the end of these years. It's like, oh, why? You'd be the only factory workers in the world to get paid that well. And the second thing they want is a 32-hour work week. They don't want to work. They want to work 4 days a week, 8 hours those days. Lazy. Like, what? Okay. Do you feel accomplished with yourself when you go to work just to not get paid, hang up a sign and be like, yeah, we're progressive. Yeah, we're going to get paid more to work less. Do you feel accomplished when you go home at the end of the day? I'm just curious because I know I wouldn't. I'd feel bored and lazy. Go to work, work hard, earn your promotion. You want to get paid more, you better earn it. Earn that promotion. Fight for it. Compete with other people for it. Instead of sitting there and being lazy and then realizing you're not getting paid very much, so then going on strike because you're not getting paid very much. You want to get paid more? Work harder. Fact. You want to get paid more and you work in a factory? I'm sorry, you work in a factory. You're not going to get paid very much. For example, Tesla workers, they get paid 36 grand a year. What makes this good for them is that they have an enormous amount of benefits, retirement, healthcare, dental. Those types of things, those benefits. And so it makes working in a factory worth it. So you have minimum amounts of other payments other than your car insurance, the other basic types of insurance like homeowners insurance, fire insurance, those basic things. Outside of that, you have very little payments. If you went to college, I guess you have that for a few years, but a lot of factories actually pay for your college too now. So it's like, okay. You work at a factory, you're not going to make millions and millions of dollars. You want to make that? Go to college. And I agree with you. College is overrated. I am out of time. I'm going to make a part two to this episode and talk about my education plans and why I think the education system is broken and dumb, specifically in universities. But that will have to be another time. I'll have this one posted later today or tomorrow morning, and the next one should be posted either next week or the end of this week. Thank you guys for tuning in. Catch you all later. God bless you. Adios.